I'd like to start by being really up to date. I went to the New Universal Dictionary of 1938, which was a very good year as it happened. We learned that the word euphemism means a mild or delicate way of describing that which is harsh or agreeable. However, the word euphemism is often accepted as a substitution of an inoffensive word or expression for what is harsh or disagreeable, that would cause upset or embarrassment. Too many words which are in daily use have meanings that are not appropriate for Christian conversation. There are two general areas, but I only have time to deal with one of them. One of the generally accepted areas is the language which is used in and around our places of work and the surroundings in which we live. The second is that of taking God's name in vain. And it is this second topic that I will try to cover today. From tots in supermarkets, in schools, and even in the street, to adults who appear to have been dragged up in the gutter, a growing number of people seem to take delight in gratuitously giving offence by verbal means to anyone in their vicinity. We live in a society where just about anything goes. Too many words that are in everyday use should be totally avoided by a Christian person and should form no part of a Christian person's vocabulary. From radio and television to the printed words in books, daily newspapers, periodicals, magazines and journals, we are under a constant bombardment by blatantly blasphemous words and euphemisms, largely from an atheistic society. Added to these, there is yet another problem. We live in an age of the acronym, that is, initials. Even taking God's name in vain comes down to initials nowadays. The age of the mobile phone brings a new form of spelling, and too many words and phrases are reduced to nothing more than letters, simple initials. As a result, we need to look a little more closely, not only at the words we use, but also the way in which we use them, and even at the abbreviations that we use in daily life. We need to ask ourselves, would Jesus Christ use these words? And the answer needs to be in the affirmative. Today, in the time that is available to me, it is my purpose to bring to our attention one basic principle which must form part of the bedrock foundation of our daily conduct, because this is one of the ways in which, through obedience to this principle, we show our love and faithfulness towards our Heavenly Father. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. It is no good saying that it makes no difference or that everybody is doing it. Our words are the personification of our thoughts. As Christians, we are not of this world. We are merely observers and pilgrims passing through this world. We are not partakers of its so-called delicacies. We must shun all vain and profane babblings. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, we read the following. You shall not take the name of the Eternal your God in vain, for the Eternal will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Now, I don't like going to other versions of the Bible, and I do prefer the King James, but in the Amplified Version, it comes out a little bit more strongly than that. And I think perhaps it's just worthwhile reading Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 from the Amplified Bible. It says here, you shall not use or repeat the name of the Eternal your God in vain, that is, lightly or frivolously, in false affirmation or profanity. For the Eternal will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. I think that just takes it a little bit further than just talking about taking the name of God in vain. It does really bring out what the whole point of this is. Now, having read that, we have to ask ourselves, what is meant exactly by taking the name of the Lord God in vain? Now, the word vain means unsubstantial, empty, trivial, useless, or unavailing. If we as Christians treat God's name in this way, what does it say about our relationship with God? As Mr. Armstrong pointed out on many, many occasions, God is a family composed of two beings at the moment, one of whom gave his life as a human being, as a sacrifice for each one of us. If we take the name of God in vain, what does it say about our attitude towards that sacrifice, towards our Heavenly Father? And as has been pointed out in this week's update, if we know these words, we must live by them, we must practice them. We have to walk the walk. There has to be a special recognition of the importance of the name of God by all who would be called Christian. I would now like to turn to the book of Psalms, particularly to Psalm number 111 and verse 9. It is here that we find what King David was inspired to write. As we should all know, King David was a man after God's own heart, and he revered God's name and instructs us in the knowledge of how we too should treat that royal name. Psalm 111 and verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. I'd like to emphasize that. Holy and reverend is his name. Going back to the dictionary once more, we need to understand exactly what is meant by the words reverend, revere, and holy. To revere is to regard in sacred or as sacred or exalted, to hold in deep and usually affectionate or religious respect, and to venerate. Now, to venerate is to consider worthy of and to regard with deep respect or warm approbation. But God's name is not just to be revered, it is also holy, that is, sacred and spiritually perfect. We all use words. We all perhaps think that we understand the words that we use. However, if we are honest with ourselves, it might well be to our advantage to go to the dictionary every now and again to see exactly what the words that we use really mean. We also need to be aware of the words that should be avoided. And I'd like to give you just one or two examples. This is by no means exhaustive. I'll only talk about half a dozen examples. And you may think that these are somewhat dated. But even so, I'll just give you a few examples. My wife and I regularly used to use a word, not realizing the underlying meaning. To us, the word was part of an apple. It was core. I looked that up in a dictionary. It said, God, slang. And we were both appalled when we discovered that true meaning. Another one, a phrase which comes out only too often. You switch on the television, you hear this one time and time again from radio presenters. Goodness gracious, or my goodness. Two phrases that one will have a great deal of difficulty in avoiding. So many people do use them, not realizing that only God is good and only God is truly gracious. Another one, golly. Again, it means God. And then, perhaps a little dated somewhat, gee or gee whiz. What do we think that means? That is slang for Jesus. And then going on, there's another one, which, as a lad, I used quite a lot. I must admit it. It was truth. And that is God's truth. Another one, bloody. All right, that's perhaps more of a Roman Catholic oath. It means by the blood of Our Lady. But even so, that is something that we should avoid. And then there's another one, which was recently seen on a text message. OMG. Oh my. You can guess what the G stands for. Earlier, I mentioned about tots in supermarkets. My wife and I were walking round Tesco store some months ago now. We came to the end of one of the aisles, and it wasn't Mr. Ian Henderson's chocolate aisle. We came across a young woman who was reprimanding her child, who was only about 4 years old. The child looked at his mother, rolled his eyes and said, "Oh my," quite loudly and without abbreviation. What kind of a home does he come from? So some outside the church may still ask, why is it so important to avoid these words and phrases? Well, okay, let's turn to Psalm 104 and begin by reading verse 29. The being who said, "You shall not take the name of the Eternal, your God, in vain," is our Creator. And that must in and of itself surely engender a tremendous degree of respect. Now let's begin reading Psalm 104 in verse 29. "You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. The glory of the Eternal shall endure for ever. The Eternal shall rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth, and it trembles. He touches the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Eternal as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." Doesn't that engender something more than taking the name of God in vain? Doesn't that mean that we should really look to this being with awe, with reverence, treating the name as holy and pure? We live in a fast-paced world with instant communication. Questions arise. There is often barely enough time to give a considered response. The consequence is that errors are made, and sometimes those errors are made with horrendous consequences. We live in a world where we are sometimes, maybe often, subjected to those demands for instant response. We need to watch our words. We need to ask God daily that he will set a watch over our lips, a request which is found in Psalm 141. It was not without good reason that it was recorded that the man who can control his tongue is perfect. We should be aware of the seriousness of the words that we use. Mistakes do happen. And the sickening thing is that we have all allowed irreverence to pass our lips. And although we may try to avoid repeating the offence, we may yet do so again. We have to change. We have to all learn what we have been taught. And as the update says, we have to live it. Our past mistakes may have been made in ignorance and may have been winked at, but now we have been made aware of the law. We have to live this way of life. We have been made aware of that law, and as I say, we have to live the life. We have to walk the walk. As I've already said, we live in a fast-paced world. We sometimes need to think not just twice before we speak. Before we hit the send button on the computer or on the text phone or the mobile phone. A wrong word said inadvertently can and often does cause offence. And I take no pride in admitting that I have often been a prime example of accidentally giving offence to others by using a wrong word, having a wrong tone in my voice, a wrong look on my face. The words are important. The tone of the words is important. The way in which the words are delivered is important. The attitude behind the words is important. And it does say, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." And that is something we should remember. We should live by it, and we should allow ourselves to be guided by those words. Let's all be sure that we do our best not to offend either God or man.